There we go. All right. Hey, Peter.
Hi, Tim.
Welcome to This Week at Reactor. We're going to go over some of the things that are happening in the area this week, starting with the website. So first you navigate to microsoftreactor.com, and Peter's going to walk us through what's going on this week.
That's right. On our homepage, it shows a snapshot of what our space looks like, and what we're going to do is go into the events page and take a look at what's upcoming this week at the reactor. Tonight, Tuesday the 2nd, we've got PAC IT Pros. That's a group consisting of about 6,000 members nationwide, servicing 8 million devices.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a significant amount, but what do they do? Let's take a look here.
They meet, what, tonight? Tuesdays?
The PAC IT Pros meet on the first Tuesdays of every month.
Okay, cool.
And they're transitioning from 555 California to Microsoft Reactor at 680 Folsom.
Okay, cool. So they're going to be here tonight, and just a good meetup. PAC IT Pros, Janelle runs it. They usually have pretty good speakers and food, so if you're into that, come by next month or later today if this gets up in time. Sweet. Now, what else is coming up?
Okay, going back to the events page, we have on Thursday, our other event this week is Bay Area Microsoft BI User Group. That's going to be starting at 6:30 to 8:30.
That's Power BI User Group, Thursday, February 4th. Power BI is a Microsoft technology for visualizing data. It looks like they're going to be talking about SQL at the upcoming one. So how SQL is integrated with Power BI. Power BI's got some really cool things. So it's kind of a broad visualization, and you can plug it into all sorts of different technology. 6 months ago, I visited the Signal conference. So mm-hmm. Twilio, which is a company that does MMS messaging as a service and calls as a service, and you can kind of use their API to manage calls and texts and stuff. They just had built an integration where in Power BI, you could visualize sales according to next to your text messages, right? In this plug-and-play kind of way. So I'm really curious about what they're going to be talking about, the BI user group, and seeing, you know, kind of what's next about this new visualization techniques.
And I believe that's a recurring monthly meeting here as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Sweet. All right. So what's next? Our last one is 4JS. 4JS is all next week.
That's right. They're going to be here Monday through Saturday doing all-day workshops.
Okay, cool. And there's going to be a couple of Microsoft people actually giving talks. Doris Chen and Stacy Mulcahy will be giving talks. I think Doris is on Wednesday in the conference, and then Stacy is out of this office on Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. I'll put the links in the description. But 4JS is a really cool conference, kind of a large swath of different stuff comes through it, and meeting organizer Dave Nugent like works across the street, really good guy, so hopefully we have him in here for an interview sometime soon.
That'd be great. Other events going on in San Francisco, we're preparing for Super Bowl City,
yeah,
which is the Super Bowl experience here at the Moscone Center right across the street from 680 Folsom, the reactor. So if you do plan on attending an event this week, just be mindful of extra traffic and commute times.
Yeah. Seriously.
It's going to be going on all week and through the weekend.
Sometimes I bike to work, and the street that I go is now just Super Bowl. Like, the whole street is,
yeah, they've taken it over. Street. Yeah. And San Francisco isn't small. About a quarter of the city is blocked off downtown.
Yeah. What else is going on? We've got some other fun stuff on the things. Super Bowl. The Surface Hub has arrived.
Surface, that's right. We have an 84-inch Surface Hub. We're going to walk you through the process of installation and getting that on display, yeah, and from start to finish, and then doing some applications with that. We're very excited to have that on site.
It's like a, what, $10,000, $20,000 piece of technology?
That's right, and it weighs 499 pounds, believe it or not. It's a 500-pound computer. Imagine hanging that on your wall.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So they're going to be installing that sometime soon.
Very soon.
As soon as they acquire enough people to hold it, I'm assuming.
That's right, and we're going to track that process for you.
Okay.
And show it.
Are we going to? Are they going to be okay with us being part of that?
They can't stop us. At the reactor, we get down, we get behind the scenes, we're going to find out
information
about this stuff.
But it's huge. It's in a big box. Maybe we'll get some B-roll of it, and it's sitting right outside. And do you know where they're going to put it?
Supposedly, it's going to go here. We're going to wait and see based on if the building can support the weight. Yeah, but that's going to be an exciting process for us to go
through. Oh, my gosh. If we take down the building with a 500-pound mounting plan. Yeah, I wonder what they use for that.
Everything and anything and everything
to hold it up.
Yeah.
All right. What else? Oh, we got new curtains. That's kind of fun. So now between the startups and kind of like the more general meeting space.
Uh huh. Yeah, we have two zones here at the Microsoft Reactor. We have a event space that we're working our schedule out with, and we also have a co-working space where we host startups.
Yeah.
Now we can separate those two spaces. So in theory, you could run back-to-back presentations, events, and have our co-workers going at the same time.
Plus the meeting rooms.
Plus our meeting rooms, our conference rooms.
This room.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the Maker Lab. Like, there's, I think that one curtain has really kind of like highlighted the diversity of the space, and I think that was a good.
Absolutely.
An essential part of the.
And the calendar's filling up, so if you're out there looking for event space, act now.
Email Microsoft Reactor.
That's right. Microsoft, the Reactor at Microsoft.com.
TheReactor at Microsoft.com and at Twitter at Microsoft. Who's that? Hopefully it's Janelle.
Let's see.
All right. So to the first guest, you are the first guest of the Reactor Weekly, Janelle Carruthers, which is great because we have PAC IT Pros tonight. So.
We do have PAC IT Pros tonight. For those of you who aren't familiar with PAC IT Pros, it's one of the longest running Microsoft user communities. They've been around for about 20 years. They originally started out as a Novell user group back in the day and has slowly migrated over to Microsoft technologies primarily.
Now what's Novell?
Novell, it was an old like Active Directory like technology, like a directory service and a server technology that was in existence or really popular about 20 some odd years ago.
Is Active Directory like the heart of Microsoft?
It's the heart of most people's enterprises. Well over 97% of enterprises that use Microsoft products are using Active Directory as their primary identity management solution on-prem.
So, for most people on the outside of that, I don't think you recognize the significance of that piece of technology. Like, I didn't really, my first job in IT, when they used Active Directory, I was like, what is Active? And the more I learned about it, the more I was like, this is very essential.
Right. You can't do anything on your enterprise if you can't log in the morning. And that is that's the back end of that.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So PAC IT Pros, do you know what they're talking about?
Tonight, we're talking, I think, about Windows 10. And I might actually talk a little bit about Azure, maybe talk about some JSON templates and doing infrastructure as code, a little infrastructure as a service in the cloud. So a lot of enterprises are starting to look at making that move, hybrid, or moving a lot of their on-prem infrastructure, like core stuff, into the cloud and how to go about doing that. So
talk about that a lot. Very topical.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Talk about that a lot.
Yeah. And then so... Well, one of the points was your start of your career.
Oh, yeah, that too. PAC IT Pros was actually pretty pivotal in the start of my, I can't even say that word, in the start of my career. It was one of the ways I started finding out more about information technology and getting to know people in the industry and just hear what people are talking about and doing in their businesses by going to those meetings.
Okay, so you were just an attendee.
An attendee.
And what was your background?
I have a teaching degree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I made a very... big career change.
Huh. Okay, cool. So you just showed up, found that it was interesting?
Interesting, and it kind of aligned. I started taking classes at community college when I realized I wanted to shift careers, and it just seemed like a really great way, you know, to get into the community, start seeing what technology communities were talking about, what was the key topics and things like that. So any of the user groups that, say, meet here at the Reactor that focus on a variety of technologies are a really great way to sort of advance your career or get started in a career or even just explore making a shift.
and kind of like pique your interest, right?
Right.
Like it gives you that physical, like, hey, I'm here, I'm with people, and this is a community that.
Right.
That's so. Shout out to the people who are interested in learning about.
Pretty much any technology.
Any technology, just show up.
Yeah, look for a meetup, look for a user group, look for a community that already exists.
And you start your career and end up like Janelle.
Could.
That's
yeah.
pretty good. So then next is what excites you about?
What excites me about
Microsoft
for technology?
What, you know, if PacIT is going to happen in 6 months, what might you talk to them about?
Oh, I think in about 6 months we're going to be talking a lot about Server 2016. There's a lot of great new stuff coming in that release, particularly Nano Server, the ability to really containerize Microsoft Server, which has always been a challenge for the last decade or so. It's always been a big, full server installation that took up a lot of space on your hard drive, that required a lot of different components to manage and secure. So Nano being really, really small and tiny to really support that containerized feature set that a lot of the startups and the cloud-based applications are utilizing, we'll be able to tie right into Docker and things like that to really change how people deploy and manage their infrastructure.
Hmm. And so you're saying that, the server of the past was this thing you managed.
Right.
And now the server, the Nano server, is one of these things you just deploy?
Deploy, right. Hmm. A lot of the problems that people would solve using maybe a Linux deployment, because it's smaller, a smaller footprint, you can now be able to do with the Windows server and thus support your .NET applications
right.
in the same way.
Cool. That's exciting.
It is exciting. It's really cool, especially with that big shift, the shift we're seeing to like DevOps and more infrastructure as a code and more just, ease of deployment and managing that infrastructure outside of your data center. I think Server 2016 with the Nano server is going to really bring that along.
And you said infrastructure as code.
Right.
Right. I think that's the scary part about it, right?
It is, because so many people who've been doing enterprise infrastructure in data centers for years and years and years are used to what I like to say is, rack and stacking in a room. You order up the hardware, you rack it, you wire it, you really understand how things are interconnected. And now with the cloud, a lot of that tends to be abstracted away.
Hmm.
We spin up a deployment or a load balancer or start building networks or a cloud service or something like that, that's very abstracted, and the inner workings of how that functions behind it is a little missing.
Right.
So when you're doing infrastructure as code, it's really how do you match what you're doing on-prem to make it easily deployable in the cloud
right.
and repeatable. So instead of rack and stacking in your server room, it's infrastructure as code is how you rack and stack in the cloud.
Right. Huh. And it very becomes less about
wires.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the end result is the same. You're still looking at needing to understand the same networking concepts, the same concepts between how storage and CPU interact and things like that as you're selecting those components from
right.
the cloud
right.
and organizing them.
And it's almost like a merger of a couple different things, it seems like, too. Instead of just the networking or just the you can make that whole thing part of the same deployment script.
You can, or you can break it up and reuse parts. So there's really a lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
You can have one big sort of monolithic deployment that builds a very specific infrastructure, or you can build certain parts of that code that are more reusable and
right.
use them to build multiple sets of infrastructure.
So you've got the networking code base or the API management
for the
system
for storage and for compute and things like that.
Huh. Very cool. Okay. TechReady's happening right now.
It is. I am not following along directly. I'm obviously not there.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to kind of like after the week's over and things have settled down and they're posted online for us internally to really sort of be able to dig into some of that technology and what's being announced.
I'm getting a lot of out of office.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's quiet. I'm getting a lot of work. I'm getting
yeah.
a lot of other work
I'm
done.
I'm getting a lot of other work done.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I guess this kind of follows right along after the Nano as a container type stuff. What's fascinating you about technology these days?
Well, it's like the cloud is really making it hard to kind of keep up with all of the changes.
Right.
Up until really recently, like within the last 5 years, a new product would come out and you'd buy it and you'd download it and you'd install it and you had you know, sometimes years to kind of learn the idiosyncrasies of how they work, you know, put in bug reports, kind of work around challenges, you know, that sort of stuff. You really got to learn a piece of software or a piece of, you know, well, hardware, but mostly software. And now with continuous deployment, continuous innovation, it really seems harder to sort of keep up. Like the problem that you had yesterday might be solved in 2 weeks, or the feature you were missing not too long ago is now available.
And tweaked, right. Yeah.
So it really means that you have to reassess offerings from software vendors, from everybody, on a more regular basis to find out whether or not something that you dismissed 6 months ago, you know, might be the perfect fit for what you need.
Right. So those two-year cycles,
it's just kind of gone. But you really don't have as much time to get acquainted and really feel like you know something fully, because it keeps changing.
No, that's kind of fascinating, but it's also kind of sucks.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It really is. Kind of, you never really feel like you've really mastered anything. You know, it's a constant churn of learning.
So this is the thing that would keep you up at night.
Oh yeah, this
and you're calling it fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, but it would sort of keep you up at night. Yeah. You know, particularly if you're in the situation where you're making recommendations to, you know, key business folks in your organization, the people who are, you know, giving you the money or asking you to make, you know, security decisions and things like that. You're usually make those off of a set of information that's pretty static for a couple of years, and now you're making those decisions off of information or products that might change.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gonna. I think like IT professionals are gonna be kept really busy, just kind of keeping up with that and making sure that they are helping their organizations make the best business decisions.
Now, do you think at the very high end, like if you say unlimited budget for an IT system or whatever, you know, could you provide that kind of performance?
What do you mean, like?
Like
there's no budget.
There was no budget, and the company, like, let's say, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, kind of like a general company. Maybe like GE.
Right.
GE's like, okay, we've got to manage computers for all of our employees and all this stuff, and the budget is unlimited. Can you provide that level of, like, perfect performance for everyone in a world where there's a 6 month turnover in technology?
That's the thing. I don't even think that's actually attainable, because you know, you look at the problems you need to solve and then you apply a certain solution, but it's really hard to find a solution that meets every single need. Like, even with the amount of churn that you're getting, you know, say you want to manage desktops, like there's always going to be a certain subset of desktops that, or devices that are more difficult to manage than others. And as those device manufacturers make changes, then the software that's managing that makes changes, and there's always going to be, I think, a little disconnect.
Yeah.
The problem is that disconnect's always going to shift now and shift more often.
Gosh, and it almost makes me sad thinking about almost technology kind of being restricted by that turnover.
Right, but you know, what else would we be doing?
Yeah.
Right.
And on that note, any show, book?
Oh, that I'm watching?
So
right now I'm sort of addicted to CSI Cyber.
Yeah.
I was a big...
You're just lining it up.
I know, aren't
you're just
I? I know.
It
up. Well, I used to be a big regular CSI fan, and now they've, you know, that series is over. It's been, you know, over for a while. It was, what, 10, 15 years that ran? And now that's over. So CSI Cyber has kind of replaced that for me, but it's really kind of freaky. They're very on the mark when it comes to, you know, issues of security and privacy with like mobile devices and internet and things and stuff like that. Like sometimes it makes me want to turn off my phone a little bit more, or you know, really think about what Internet of Things devices I actually want to, you know, connect to the internet.
Right. So they're taking my note that I took on this is sci-fi.
Yeah. The only thing is, it's not really sci-fi. No. Mm. It's you watch the episodes and you're like, I can totally see that happening.
Well, this was the Week in the Reactor. Thank you, Janelle, for scaring us out of technology.
I'm going to scare you out of technology. let's go back to paper, everyone.
Let's go back to paper. This is a great start to a technology series. Thanks, Janelle.
You're welcome.